to the teardown, baby.
We swarm.
Welcome to the teardown.
We swarm. Let them know.
We swarm, baby.
We swarm, baby. All they know.
We about to win so big. Talking about hydraulic money.
Coming in, tell me what's the program. 25 bags of crush, yeah, get with the program. Shorty want that wave, get the program. Shorty want that wave, what's the program? Throwing through the air, what's the program?
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back, baby. Another week, another episode of Tales from the Terror Dome. It is the off season for football, but it is not the off season for everybody. We got an exciting one today. You know, I try to hit all Hokie sports because I love all Hokie sports. And we got an exciting one, man. The Hammer and Hokies, Batsburg baseball, Kurt Elbin. They're currently 25-12. He is the associate head coach, offense and recruiting coordinator. Had six players drafted in the first five rounds in his tenure at Virginia Tech, including four in 2022, man. So I'm glad to have you here, man. How you doing?
I'm doing great, Dan. Thanks for having me and excited to be on today.
Absolutely, man. So where, for the people that want to get to know you, where are you from exactly?
I'm from Bedford, Pennsylvania. So small rural town, South Central PA, born and raised and still get back there quite a bit. So that's where I'm from.
So not too much different than Blacksburg, huh?
No, great fit. Certainly, you know, I've kind of made my way around a lot of different spots after graduating college, but this is, you know, the whole slogan, this is home. It feels like home to me. So farmlands, mountains, rural Southwest Virginia kind of fits where I'm at. I'm an outdoorsman too, so I've enjoyed my time here and absolutely love the place.
Absolutely. There's no shortage of that between the Blue Ridge Parkway and all the other Clater Lake and Smith Mountain Lake and all the other rivers and creeks along the way.
That's right.
So when did you fall in love with baseball? Cause for me, I was like five, but I feel like it's definitely a kid thing, but yeah. When did you realize like this was going to be a lifelong journey for you?
I don't know. I do know this, like growing up, I had such a great upbringing, and my parents certainly afforded me a lot of opportunities to do a lot of different things, and they made me do a lot of different things. I played every single sport growing up, but like when I realized that I really enjoyed baseball, for whatever reason, my dad, I have an older brother and a twin brother, my dad would take us out, and we'd play pepper in the front yard, and a game that no one plays anymore. But that's where I feel like I fell in love with the game, but just how tough and challenging it was. Some of the other sports came a little easier to me, but baseball is a tough one, you know, especially when it comes to hitting. And, I tell our guys all the time, it's the only sport, you know, where defense holds the ball. And, you know, when you kind of look at it that way, it's what makes it fun and what makes it challenging. But that's, you know, I think my parents and my brothers kind of allowed me to grow a love for the game.
Yeah, man, for me, it was, I played when I was a kid, but I wish I would have stuck with it. I was a contact hitting lefty. I wish I would have stuck with baseball, but
you need those. You need those.
Football, football was my first love. But I mean, my aunt lived in Chicago when I was a kid. She worked for the Fox station up there. So she was always covering like Jordan and the Blackhawks and all these other things. And, it was just, I would get home from school at like 3:30 Eastern and the Cubs would be coming on WGN, so I fell in love with Ryan Sandberg and the Cubs. And then I think everybody fell in love with baseball when Sosa and McGuire were having their home run contest that year. So I just I love the sport, man. It's hard. It's a hard sport. If you hit the ball 30% of the time, you're a Hall of Famer, right? So
That's right. It's certainly becoming, and they've done a great job from, you know, up and down, just trying to change it to make it more exciting and bring different fans into the sport. And so, you know, as college coaches, you follow that at the major league level when it kind of trickles down, trying to make it faster pace and, you know, more offensive. And so it's changed a little bit too. You know, back in the day, it was a different ball game, different strike zone, different era. but it's been fun to be a part of, it's rewarding at times, and it's heartbreaking at times, but that's what makes it special.
Yeah, it's ever evolving. Now you got challenges and a pitcher clock, and they're trying to make it faster, I guess. But
it's wild, isn't it? It's wild.
Then there's
and see where it goes, and what the implications are with this, and in terms of, you know, injuries and just guys, you know, shorter rest and recovery throughout the game. It's wild to kind of just see how the numbers have changed while they've added the pitch clock. But that's a whole other tangent. I don't know if we need to get into that today.
And you graduated from Lock Haven? Is that where it is?
Yeah. I was a bad player, man. I'm not even going to lie about it. I feel like I was, I feel like I was a student of the game, and my shortcomings were, you know, from a talent and an athletic perspective, but I always felt like I had a pretty good feel for it. So now I finished up at Lock Haven Division II, played some JUCO ball out of high school down in New Orleans. Had a really good time. No regrets for what I did. But coming out of college, I had no idea what I wanted to do. Thought I was going to be a desk jockey, selling insurance, doing sales. Got an email from my college coach, and the guy, you know, out in Eastern PA was looking for a young assistant to basically just come out and get his feet wet in the game coaching. And that's where I started. So I've kind of bounced around all over the place, but I love my time in college as a player, and certainly cutting my teeth at some of the lower levels has kind of, I hope, made me into what I am today, and still working on it. You know, I think we all are.
Absolutely. Well, now you got one of the top offenses in the ACC, you know, which is a premier sports conference, regardless of what they want to say about basketball fell off or whatever. I don't believe it, but it's a great conference. A lot of good teams historically. I feel like, you know, Duke, Carolina, like all those teams like that. Good baseball being played. Man, you guys are already over 100 homers this year. And what was it? You think you're gonna break that record from 2022?
You know what? If you had asked me that 3 weeks ago, I'd have said yeah. It's funny how the season has ebbs and flows, and you know, we've kind of hit a skid, but we faced some pretty good, no, I don't want to say skid, but we've faced some pretty good staffs. You know, it's funny. I think, you know, it's so mental, right? The game is so mental. And, you know, sometimes you have to remind your guys that they're good, and because they go through some stretches and they just be getting their butt whipped, and they kind of forget who they are and forget why they're here. And so I think our job as coaches is at times to remind them. And I only bring that up just because, you know, playing Wake Forest and then going down to Georgia Tech, and I thought we swung it really well down there. And I thought we put together some really good at-bats against Duke. But, you know, when it comes to the homer, a lot of that is conditions, pitches to hit, and kind of just how it lines up. But I feel like if we are who we are down the stretch, we're going to put up some numbers. There's no doubt.
No, that's been very exciting to watch, you know. Carson DeMartini, he's obviously electric out there every time he steps up to the plate. But, you know, dingers, that's what the people want, man. I feel like, you know, it's the most exciting part of baseball. Yeah, everybody wants them because it's an instant run, right?
Yeah.
But,
pressure, and it has a lot to do with where we've, you know, kind of come from and trying to build the offense. It's exactly what, you know, not so much just the home run, but actually slugging. I feel like in today's game, you might not get 13 hits a game, but if you get seven to nine of them, and four or five of them are extra base hits and guys are on base, and you can slug in those situations, it's certainly pleasing to the crowd and the fans, but there's more bang for your buck right there. So it's what we 100% try to do, and there's a process to that. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah, baseball is a game of split seconds. It can either go really well or really bad, depending on where you're at on that side of the spectrum. That's for sure. And that's what makes it so exciting, I think, and also makes it so difficult.
It's true.
But,
it's sometimes.
Absolutely, man. You came to Virginia Tech in what year?
So I got here the summer of 17. 18, I came here when Coach Jeff got hired. So 18 was our first season together. Yeah, came from VCU.
Yeah, what would you say has been the biggest improvements that you've seen as a program from the time you got here to where you're standing right now?
Everything. I think everything. When we got here, they were in the middle of building the stadium and upgrading the facility. So I think it starts there. Obviously, we're continuing to push forward there. You know, the biggest thing that I saw when I got here that needed improvement and that has grown is the quality of player. And I think facilities has a lot to do with that. Being able to recruit to it and having a space and a place where guys can come to develop is huge. So, you know, our facilities have gotten better. Our player personnel has gotten immensely better. You can see that with the draft picks and hopefully with just the records and how we've kind of built this thing and we're still trying to do it. Our staff has gotten way better. Just knowing what we need and having pieces to our staff where guys can kind of handle their own areas. You know, I work with some young guys that we wouldn't have had this success and wouldn't be having this success that we've had without some guys behind the scenes that don't get a lot of credit, from, you know, Tyler Hansen to Kyle Sarazen to Tyson Petersheim. They're just studs at what they do and putting together game plans for our guys and helping me and just kind of getting our message across. So, I mean, from facilities to players to our staff, just our support staff as well, you know, how we feed them, how we supplement them, you know, top to bottom. This thing is and it's only going to get better, I hope, because of what the landscape of recruiting and NIL and the transfer portal. So you got to put together a pretty good product to attract talent if you want to get to a good spot in terms of in the league and winning at a high level. Like, you got to maintain it, right? Like, we understand that. We accept that challenge. We certainly want to be at the forefront of the league when it comes to getting guys here that are good players, but taking care of them once they're here. So, yeah, the biggest changes, to be honest with you, Dan, it's everything from top to bottom, to where they eat, to where they live, to how they train, to who talks to them, to coaches them, and how they feel when they go home and how well they're taken care of. So that's the challenges in collegiate sports right now. And that's what we're trying to do, man. We're trying to do everything.
Yeah, I mean, you guys put four players in the top five rounds of the MLB draft in 2022, which, if you're unfamiliar with the MLB draft, there's many rounds. So first five rounds is super impressive in any sport. How has that helped with recruiting and getting into players' homes? Has it made it a little easier to get the attention of some of the people at the top of your board?
Yeah, it does. It does. But to be honest with you, like, you know, this is just me speaking, frankly, from you know, just being at it at the ground level. Like, I think it says more about our development and the recruiting side of it. Like, you still got to go and get the guys that you feel like you can develop. You know, there's teams out there, there's college programs that, you know, they put a little more stock into getting the, you know, top 100 player from the PG ranks perspective. And, you know, we don't really look at that. We look at guys that we feel like fit our system and that we can develop. And I think it's, you know, it's helped from getting, being more, or having more access to those type of players and not having to fight as hard for those same type of players that we can develop. It is what it is. Like, we're not going to go and beat LSU on a guy. Like, it's tough to do that. You know, it's tough to beat Carolina on a guy in North Carolina. Like, that is what it is. We understand that. But I think what has happened when we start to crank out some pretty high draft picks and people see that, I think, you know, scouts see it. Advisors and agents see it. And when they have these contacts with these young players and these high school players, they look up and be like, that's a place that you can go and develop. So I feel like we've had more access to the Carson DeMartinis, to the Gavin Crosses, to the Bittisons, to the Shobles, to the Hunters, to the Hurleys, like those guys that have had really good careers for us. But none of those guys were high level guys coming out of high school. And we understand that and we know that. I think we have to fight less for that type of player, and we're completely okay bringing those type of guys in and developing them.
Yeah, absolutely. How much, how has NIL affected the baseball space? I know how it's affected the football space and basketball, but more specifically baseball.
it's I think it's a year away from every like little trend that you've seen football, baseball, and down to, football, basketball, down to baseball. Like when it first started happening, there was just not many guys that knew about it. Then they popped in the transfer portal, just transferring, just going to spot, not being happy, right, and leaving. You know, and then you throw out the NIL, and like the money's just not really there yet in baseball. Like last summer, there were some rumblings of guys that, you know, got paid and got a little bit of money, and now it's wild in basketball and football. And I think what you're going to see this summer, like, it's now it's going to hit. We're a year away from, you know, just people getting paid in other sports, like really getting paid. Now I think you're going to have programs that have that money. And they're going to be able to go out. And now the laws have changed, right? Like you can recruit with it, and there's different ways to kind of go about it. So it 100% has its impact on our game. Now, for me and for us, it doesn't really affect how we want to go about it. We're going to try to be a player in the game as best we can. You know, we still at the forefront of our mind, it's about developing young players in our program and getting them everything they need to get better, and then kind of filling holes with the portal where we see fit. But it certainly presents its challenges. But I think if you were to ask anybody on our staff, and if you were to ask Coach Sheff, I think, and you were to ask our players, I think the transfer portal has only helped us. It really hasn't hurt us yet. And I hope it rings true for that, because, you know, there's guys that there's some really bad stories in baseball, and I'm sure the same holds true for football and basketball. But there's some really bad stories where, you know, players have been treated really well on our team, in our league, and they feel like the grass is greener. They want to go chase the dollar bill. They want to go to chase, you know, maybe a more sexier league or a more high profile league. But there's some really bad stories out there where guys have kind of made some ill-informed decisions and put themselves in bad places, not only, you know, where their feet are in that current year, but like from a draft perspective. So I think we do a good job of treating our guys well and taking care of them. So as long as we can keep our players here, I'm fine with it. Whatever happens in a portal happens, but we're fighting the fight. We play portal combat a lot. So,
yeah, I think we just saw that example in women's basketball. Haley Van Lith was a superstar at Louisville, and she went to LSU because it looked like a really good situation, and then it ended up not being good for her. And now she's, you know, transferred back out somewhere. Hopefully she bounces back, but yeah, man, the grass is not always greener, and I guess.
But they're also the big thing with that too is like, but what are we teaching our young people, right? Like now you can go, like you can be unhappy or you can be happy, and you can just say, you know what, these people are treating me well. I'm going to go try to get, you know, more money. But then you go somewhere else, it doesn't work out. Now they're allowed to transfer again, right? Now you can just go and make a mistake, and you don't have to wear it or eat it or learn from it. And now you just go transfer again. I don't know what college athletics is going to look like in 4 to 5 years, but I certainly the model that we've entered and just the culture and the climate of it is not good. I don't think it's going to be any better in 2 or 3 years. So someone's got to do something to change it, I think. It's just my little soapbox.
Bud Foster, he was saying the same thing. He was like, kids don't want to stay anywhere and get developed anymore because they can just transfer to another school and play. And then they end up playing 3 different schools in 3 different years and didn't learn anything.
Didn't learn a dang thing. Yeah.
No. How do you guys weed out in the, like, when you're looking in the portal, how do you weed out the kids chasing the bag and the kids chasing they want to be coached, they want to come and play, and they want to improve their future draft stock?
Usually, to be honest with you, like, you're going to tell in the first 5 minutes on the phone, because, you know, when you start, and your whole recruiting is about getting to know somebody. And that, like, that has changed with the rules of what we can do with high school kids and even the portal. Now it's about like, now it's about, you know, what can you do for me? But if the kid's asking, what can you pay me versus what can you do for me? Like, there's kids that want to go and get to the next level. And in those first 5 minutes, those questions are, if they're more about, you know, what do you have technology wise? Like, what is your approach here? Like, what are you doing in the weight room to get guys stronger, to develop, you know, your hitters or your pitchers? Those questions you're thinking, okay, that kid wants to be developed and, you know, he's interested in growing himself as a player. But you might have a conversation that goes a little different. And in those first 5 minutes, you know, that guy's going to ask, like, what are you paying? Like, what do you got? Usually that becomes pretty clear right out of the gate. You know, also talking to, unfortunately, agents and advisors. I mean, that's, you don't talk to parents anymore. You got to talk to someone that represents these guys. And all these cats have agents and advisors for no reason whatsoever. They don't need it, nor do they, you know, understand why those guys are there. But usually you're going to get a phone call from an advisor before you even talk to the player. And you'll have those conversations about what it's going to take to get him to your school or what he wants. So it's pretty evident right out of the gate, kind of what guys are looking for and why they went into the portal.
Yeah, I think, baseball is a whole different animal, I feel like, because not only you have the high school recruiting now, but then you add the portal recruiting to it. But then also you can get drafted while still playing. And then how do those conversations go where you like try to help the kid figure out like, hey, coach, I got drafted here, but should I come back and play with you guys again? Or should I just go to the minors or the majors?
Yeah. I think it's about understanding your value as a player and what that money looks like, right? If it's money that changes your life and it's the right, you know, situation to go, then you need to go. And, you know, what we try to weigh is, you know, okay, if you do come back, what does your leverage look like? What can you make that same money or more if you come back? Are there injury risks that changes your draft stock in the following year? And a lot of that is, you know, also lastly is where, you know, how close are you to your degree? And what does that look like? So there's an academic piece to it. There's a financial piece to it, but also there's a, you know, what do you want to do? Do you want to enjoy your college experience and finish it? Or do you want to go start working? Because that's what professional baseball is. Because once you leave, you know, amateur sports, you got to go perform. And if you don't perform, then they're going to take away your money. And once they take away your money, now you got to go find a job. Now, how close are you to your degree to go finding a job? So all those things kind of go into it. But a lot of it is like, it's pretty evident. Like, you know, it's when it's a guy's time to go, it's his time to go, you know, guys that come back, usually it's because the money's not right and they really value their degree and they feel like they can get that same money in the following year if they do the same thing they did the year they got drafted.
Yeah, I feel like the MLB at least have done they've been trying to clean up the minor league system as far, because I know the pay used to be like real bad and living conditions used to not be very ideal, but I feel like they eliminated, I think they might have downsized
teams, and they've upped the pay, and they've needed to do that, right? Like, there's no other sport, or there's no other there's no other organization or line of work where you can have a signing bonus in the millions, and then go and have to live in a dorm or an apartment with, you know, someone that doesn't speak the same language and struggle to get by day to day. Like, just it doesn't make sense. It never has made sense. So they've changed that, and it's certainly hopefully only going to get better, you know, as they kind of weed through it.
Absolutely. And as far as when you go out and you recruit, I mean, you got over 8 all ACC honorees under your belt, and the number is going to keep growing. How do you, I guess, when you're out there looking, whether it be summer leagues or whatever, how do you know, like, all right, this kid is good enough to be here? And how do you also know, like, a kid, like, okay, he might not play for us every day, but eventually we're going to need him to play, and he's got to be good enough, you know?
Yeah. It's simple. Like, when you go out, they have to look the right way. Like, that's as easy as I can put it. And a lot of that comes from just being able to look back and compare hitters that move a certain way, or defenders that move a certain way, or arms that move a certain way, and they look a certain way, and the fastball is doing this and the swing is doing that, and they run. Like, if they, for me, it's a lot about comparing young guys, portal guys, junior college guys to what you currently have and what you know works in the league. And you try and go find as many of those guys that you feel like, okay, I've recruited that player. He looked like that. He came in, he developed, and he ended up being this. And the more of those guys that kind of look that part and look that way that you can get, the better. And then there's the other side of it of, you know, okay, he might not come in and be a superstar and be a high impact guy out of the gate, but you know, he's got numbers that say he can go and do it, whether it be at the high school level or the junior college level. And he just needs that exposure around better players to kind of be a guy once he sits and waits. You know, I think the last layer to that is, you know, what's the makeup? Because there's guys that will take flyers on that might not, you know, that might not be the best runner or have the most bat speed or have the best fastball. But if they look like they have or seem like they have some intangibles that that they can will themselves to being a good player, like, we'll take a flyer on them for sure. So you know, there's a lot that goes into it. But at the end of the day, I think you have to trust the decisions you've made in the past that have allowed you to kind of develop guys and get guys to a certain spot. And then, you know, just kind of rely on those experiences to keep making those pretty good decisions. So, I mean, I think it seems like it's hard. It becomes easier and easier as you go by, because you know, at the end of the day, you go out there and you're not really looking for guys to make you say yes. You're looking for reasons not to recruit guys. And that's when it becomes a little easier. For me.
Absolutely. And obviously 2022, man, it was crazy. We had the hammer, you know, we were the buzz. It was exciting, you know, super regional in Blacksburg. Obviously you get four guys drafted off a team in the first five rounds. Next year it took a little bit of a step back, but this year it seems to be, you know, at least from an offensive perspective, it seems to be back.
Yeah.
The NCAA needs to let us have the hammer back, though. That needs to.
I'm telling you, like, once they started letting kids have fun, I think it's just changed. We talk about this all the time. Like, when we would hit a home run, like, it would change. Like, it would absolutely 100% change the energy of the game when you could do it on the field, like, in a good way. And whether that homer brought you closer, you know, to a comeback or you know, extended a lead, it completely just swung the momentum of the game. And now it's kind of, you know, at home, it's behind, you know, the dugout rail, and it's just different. But it was something that we obviously were kind of rallied behind I think just it was back last year. We got hurt. We had some things go down that, you know, it's tough to look up, and you know, from the pitching perspective, we had three of our best arms get hurt. But look, you know, DeMartini's injury last year did not help us. You know, it kind of hamstrung us because we had to DH him. He couldn't throw because of the labrum injury. But you know, I feel like the last 4 years, I think the offenses have been extremely comparable. It's just timing and rhythm of the season. Sometimes they take off, sometimes they don't. But I feel like these guys, you know, we can take over a game if the guys just do what they're supposed to do and if they believe in it, it'll happen. But the hammer is something that we all look forward to, and it's something that I think changed just the trajectory of our offense since I've been here, for sure.
Yeah, man, the NCAA just needs to let the kids have fun, man.
It is. At the end of the day, it's stupid. It's not like it's a soft rule, like. Everyone's offended nowadays, you know, and it's tough, man. I don't get it. No one gets it. And the kids, like, they work so hard, and then when they do something, you know, at the end of the week, and they put all that time and effort into their practices and preparation, and you gotta kind of put the reins on. It's just not right. It's not right. So,
yeah, they hit us in both diamond sports. Actually, they took Limley's motion away, and then they took our props away, but yeah, they let her have her motion back. So
that's
good.
I know that was big too. That stunk, man. That cost those guys some games. So
looking forward to the rest of this season. Like, how many games we got left at this point?
We have 9 in conference, so we got a lot left, and I think we're sitting, you know, third or fourth in the league right now, and we're in a fine spot. We just got to find a way to finish some weekends, but we got 9. We have a bye, kind of an off weekend. We have Ohio coming in during finals. We're just not able to really play a regular weekend during finals, so we have 4 weekends left in the conference tournament.
How are we feeling?
I feel fine. I tell everybody, like, it's you know, our conference schedule is backloaded with some of the better teams, and we took care of business early. You know, if we play well, if we play the way that we know we can, I have no issues and I have no reservations saying that we'll beat anybody in the country. 100%. I mean, that this, you know, Duke was what, they were 7th in the country. They're top 5 now. I mean, that whole series came down to 3 plays. And, you know, I think that as long as we can continue to believe that, if we play well, we'll beat anybody in the country. So, you know, I can go to sleep at night and know that, like, hey, we have the players to go make a run. But the league's tough, right? It's unforgiving at times. And when you slip up here and there, like, it can go south on you. But if we play well, I know in the heart of hearts, like, we'll be in a really good spot. We'll be playing postseason baseball at the end of the year.
It would be nice to host another Super Regional. That was really fun in Blacksburg.
You go 5-4 down the stretch, you go 6-3 down the stretch, you're like, you're going to be doing it. So it's there for us. We can do it. And we're obviously trying to take one game at a time. But I do know that we have the right guys in the room, and we just got to find a way to kind of finish this thing strong.
No, absolutely. You know, we've always, like, I guess at Tech, obviously football has always been the main focus, but I feel like the last several years, all sports, well, football fell off, but they're coming back, but all sports have really risen. And I think it's really cool, like, have every season at Virginia Tech, there's something exciting going on.
Yep.
And, you know, baseball is America's, you know, they call it America's past. It was America's first love, right? So
sure.
It would be, I don't want to call it a pastime because it's still here, you know?
Yep.
But it's definitely America's first love. And I love the sport. And I think that the more it grows and the more exciting that it gets, like, yeah, bringing the hammer back or whatever, the NCAA, do it. but, like, I just, yeah, I'm absolutely looking forward to seeing how you guys build off of this as well.
Well, shout out to, you know, before, you know, you let me go or whenever it happens, shout out to our fans. I mean, the Hokie Nation and the people that have come out to support us, you know, through the good times and the bad, like, our crowds are awesome. Like, and there's some crowds around the league and, you know, in the country that they might be bigger at times, but, like, our fans are loud. It's got to be one of the toughest places to play in the league. And that's just this fan base, right? And they want their teams to be good, and they back them. And we certainly, you know, we appreciate that, and we love the support, and we need them to keep coming out.
Absolutely. How many home series are left on the schedule?
We have 2. So we have Miami, and we have that off weekend there with Ohio. So we got a couple of midweek games. We play tonight. We play George Mason tonight. But, yeah, 1 more ACC weekend, and it'll be a big one. It's against Miami, and you know, they're just doing okay. So it'll be important for us to have a good weekend against Miami here.
Sounds like I'll be making a trip to Blacksburg.
That's right.
I'm going to have to come down and support for sure. Kurt, man, I appreciate it, dude. I know you're busy. I know you got a lot going on. You know, still full in season, full swing in season right now, making a run, man. Just wanted to bring you on here and tell you that we appreciate how you've elevated the program and how you continue to elevate everything. I got to meet you briefly before, oddly enough, for Miami football in 2022. You had the fam out doing a little tailgating. It was fun to meet you then. But
absolutely. I mean, well, we appreciate guys like you and what you do to kind of just, you know, bring the athletics program to light to the fans, and certainly have enjoyed my time on here. If you ever need it, I'll come back. There's no doubt.
Oh, man, open door policy. Anytime you want to talk ball, man.
I love it.
I'm there. All right, man, I appreciate it. Thank you again for taking the time to come on here, and absolutely go Hokies.
That's right. Go Hokies. Thanks, Dan. Take care.
Yes, sir. You too, man.